The Survivor Specialist Film Blake are back, and today we are digging deeper into episode number 6 of Survivor 47, Earn the Merge and the Roast of Rome. Those are the two topics I have laid out here for the two of us today. This is coming out a day late. I thought there might have been something that could have came out yesterday. Ultimately did not happen. Could still potentially happen. Who knows? But I haven't heard anything further on it. So here we are. We're just doing this, Earn the Merge and the Roast of Rome. This is always
Roast of Rome. I thought it was a really positive episode for Rome. He got sit on the seat.
Here's what's funny, man. Like, you listen to Rome's exit press. He's not really upset about how this shook out for him. Like, he's fine. He's chilling. He's not upset at all. But the Survivor fan base is aggravated. And so I'm actually wondering, we asked this question last season, do the Survivor fans actually want villains? And the answer is they really don't, because they hate Rome right now, and he's a villain. And I feel like Survivor fans don't want villains, but that's not the question yet. The other thing I'm realizing they don't want is a good old-fashioned roast episode. We haven't seen a roast episode like this in a long time. And the amount of comments of this was boring, this was stupid, this didn't do anything, we knew it was going to happen the whole time. It's like, that was the point of this episode.
I think there's a lot of stuff that's jumbling around in my head real quick. So it's like, let's get some of it out. Like, this is fun. Like, I think what's fun about Survivor in the past is like, well, we can have villains without them being an asshole. It's like, sometimes not really. And like, was Rome an asshole to about 15 people sometimes? And like, but it really got 3 people eliminated before it happened to him or whatever, or 2 people eliminated maybe. And like inspiring somebody like Kyle to just walk up to a group of 8 people, including all of Rome's former tribe mates, and going F word Rome, because we're on YouTube, is hilarious. Like inspiring somebody to be that angry of you is kind of like what you want to do. Like, your uncle that's saying, like, would you rather go for everyone liking you or everyone having opinion on you or whatever? Like, that layer of wisdom of like, you're not going to feel indifferent about Rome. And like, I think that's half the battle when you're are you on Survivor the game show? Are you on Survivor the reality show? Are you on Survivor the entertainment product? And I think somebody who is getting their bread buttered by entertainment of like, I'm a host, I make everything more interesting, my commentary, I think this is something where Rome said, I may not be there for 26 days, I may be there for 6 episodes, but I'm about to live every facet of a Survivor's life as quickly as possible, because whoever burns bright burns the brightest, burns the fastest or something. Like, I'm sure there's all of that jumbling around in Rome's head instead of like, I really need this $1 million.
The flame that burns the brightest. What is it? The flame that burns twice as bright burns half as long.
Yeah, that's literally it. Rome.
That's literally Rome. No, you're right. And I mean, here's the thing, though. Like, I agree with you. This is fun. Like, this is old school fun. The roast episode. And they picked a person who can take it, which is important too. Because there are some people in the new era who would lose themselves over this. Like, who just would not be able to handle this the way Rome has.
Jury's out. Rome has another 3 years to quote-unquote handle this. Like, I think there's a lot of people that get on the show. And if there's... If Rome has a... Not a conscience, but like, has second thoughts. Or if Rome doesn't get on 50 like he thought he would by doing this, I think there is a thought process for somebody of like, let me go for gasps now, so I'll be the underdog that nobody knows a bunch about on 50. They don't know my real game, and I can be a loyal soldier to people that I know because I love this stuff. I'll win Survivor 50 Legend season, and then I'll be the host. I think anybody thinking that is kind of crazy. But of course, Rome has had that thought.
Well, and so it's also Survivor. What's his Super Fun Time show? Is that what Kevin's name? I forget what his exact name of the podcast is or like the show he does. But he put out a tweet that was, if you're Jeff casting season 50, who do you pick? And put a picture of Rome and Q. And what was funny is most people were like, why not both? And then Chaos Cast came in and said, put them both on a tribe with me. And it's like, could you imagine a tribe of Chaos Cast, Rome, and Q? Well, I couldn't imagine it until Chaos Cast said it. And now that I've heard it, I kind of want to do it. Like, I'm ready. Let's go. Like, I'm ready to see that happen because that would be amazing TV. And I think the thing is, when you're calling people back from this season, you're guaranteed gold when Rome shows up. And I talked about this in my after show yesterday for the patrons. I don't think that Rome was playing this up as much as people think he was. I think this is who Rome is. And that might make you a little more concerned for Rome because you might say, well, how the hell do you go through your life being this way? Blake, you live in LA right now. I lived in LA for a while. There, you walk around that city enough, you're going to find people who you're like, how the hell do you never turn off? Like, where is the button to make you stop doing what you're doing? And I feel like with Rome, it can feel like it's a bit, but I don't think it's a bit. I think that this is really what goes through Rome's head. All the, like, if he's playing Call of Duty, he's playing Call of Duty and he's the one who's talking shit into the thing, being like, I'm about to no scope you like 47 times in a row. I don't know if kids still say that, but I remember that's what we used to say. And it's like, he's going to no scope 47 times and he's going to have a kill ratio.
I'm going to kill you so much, they may use me in a commercial. That's exactly where his head goes.
That's where his head goes. And I don't think he's playing it up. Like, I think at Thanksgiving dinner, he's the guy who, when the Cowboys game is on, he doesn't need to watch the Cowboys game because he bet Dak Prescott to go over 400 yards and it's going to happen. I don't even need to watch because I know it's just going
to
happen.
He got invited to your Thanksgiving. He's like, give me the turkey carver. And you're like, my uncle does it every single time. Yeah. And it's like, don't worry, he doesn't know what he's doing. And then uses the turkey carver wrong. And now there's turkey everywhere. Like, that was what happened on every challenge. And I think what is cool about Rome, since let's just do the Rome half of this really quickly, there's a lot of other layers to him that wasn't in some of our roasting of somebody else. Like, Roger never had the second thought process of like, it's all a game, you guys, and I really appreciated all of it, and thanks for everything. And then I know it was crocodile tears is how he framed it, of like, I didn't really like how Saul talked to me because he wanted me to swap out. And it really felt like it was like, cause he didn't believe in me, not because he wanted to do well. And I know, if I don't remember if some of that's from his after press, if he had basically almost a year to think about it. Not really a year. Is it a year?
No, not really. They filmed whatever. In May, April.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's not even close to a year, Blake. What are we talking about? So like, that's crazy. They film in May. Usually this is a whole... Wait, okay, I knew that, but I didn't really think about it.
It's the next season. It's the spring season. That's almost a full year.
Yeah. I knew that. So these people literally haven't even had like time to completely be done with it, and it's already fresh. Like, I would want to be an even season. Let's be real. Okay, that's probably why even seasons are closer and odd seasons are like, I'm still at odds with somebody.
Oh, yeah, because 46 was so close to it.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, actually. Well,
like, yeah, they love each other all the time.
I did like that Rome has the other half of like, man, I cried so much after we won that one that sent Annika home. Mm-hmm. Like, that was so important for us. I'm glad I had that moment. And then already be crazy the next day of like, yeah. I have to, like, I think he's somebody that saw Russell Hance as a blueprint of like, I'm going to plant seeds and watch them grow. That's the first time we heard that kind of talk was on Survivor 19. And it's like, but Russell was somehow more suave than you are, Rome. Like, how are you less suave than
it's just suave?
I know I'm doing it wrong on purpose.
Oh, okay, good. I was like, what is this word you're saying right now?
But yeah, Rome, I'm gonna be cautiously optimistic if Rome shows up again on Survivor, and I will also understand people going, I cannot stand Rome, I will not watch the show until he goes. And then I think there's a couple people like that for me. Like, I did not want to watch Cochran a second time. I hated him so much on the first season because it felt like somebody like me getting on the show and just completely screwing up. And then he won the whole second season and like redeems himself and becomes like a survivor, whatchamacallit. And you just want to be like, does Rome have that in him of you hated me so much? but it was actually, it's the reverse Tony of Tony played so well the first and third times, but his second time he needed to take a dive so people would give him the million the other two. I took a dive on my first one so I could win my second is like a Rome thought that nobody else would think.
Okay, well, here's my question. Can he ever win?
Can Rome ever win? I think Rome is a zero vote finalist on his all-star season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that watching that season would be very entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how Rome can connect with the average Survivor player that he has voted out and not come off as a little bit too cocky for me to give them a bunch of money.
Yeah. I just don't see how he turns off what he's doing, because again, I don't think he's putting on a show. Like, I understand, like James Wallington, I talked about this. James Wallington's been saying he's a showman, and I do think he is a showman, but I think Rome is a showman. I think Rome is the kind of guy when he's walking down the street in Los Angeles or in Arizona, he's in Phoenix. He's walking down the street in Phoenix. He assumes people are looking at him. Nobody is, but he assumes people are. And so his demeanor as he's walking around the streets of Phoenix are look good in case anybody's watching. And so I just feel like if he were to go out and play again, he'd be going out and he'd be playing just as aggressively. Because honestly, if you think about what he did on this season, they roasted him in this episode, but he found an immunity idol. He went on the journey and he got the steal a vote. He played the steal a vote successfully to get Keyshawn out of the game. He voted Asia out of the game. Now, I don't think he recognized Asia, but still, that was a pretty big boot. And then he makes it into this phase of the game. He makes it to the earn the merge, which we'll talk about that in a little bit. But it's like, when you look at what Rome did, he earned his 38 confessionals worth of screen time. And it wasn't just, oh, he's doing things to be absurd. He was playing the game. He found the stuff that he needed to do. Right. And so it's like, Russell Muscle TV right here. Rome made the pre-merge so exciting for me. I feel like a lot of people feel that way, but I also feel like a lot of people say, screw this guy. I never need to see him on my screen again. Right. And so I understand what you're saying, Blake, where it's like, if somebody said, I'm not watching the season until Rome's gone, I would get that. But also, if Rome comes back, you are going to get good TV. And maybe, just maybe, if he somehow sits at Final Three, he makes an argument. Because remember, going into Winners at War, we all said, Tony has no shot of winning. Obviously, if you went on our Spoiled Survivor, you were like, oh my God, Tony has this shit in the bag. But everybody who was a normal person knew Tony could not win that season because he was just too aggressive and he was too much of a threat. And now look, Tony's the greatest player of all time and there's really no questions about it because he somehow went out and he won that and he was able to use people's expectations of him to win. So I don't think Rome could win, but if they put him on the boat, on the plane, on the whatever the hell they got to put him on to get him out there for season 50, I'm watching it. And right now, I would say he's got to be the front runner from this season to be the one who comes back to play again. Because while I think this cast is delivering in all facets and I'm loving the season so far, you can't tell. The Q was far and away number one on 46, and that was a great cast. Right now, Rome is the most entertaining person on this season. And you know what? Here's the thing. A lot of people love Tina. I saw Kelly Wentworth doing her podcast with Kellen the other day, the one that she's doing for Reality After Show. And they were talking about how much they love Tini. And I feel like a lot of people love Tini, but if you don't love Tini, you don't feel anything about Tini. I don't think anybody hates Tini, which is probably a good thing if you're Tini, but nobody hates Tini. And I feel like that's how a lot of this cast is. Kyle, some people love. Genevieve, some people love. Nobody hates these people, and not everybody loves them. There was not a single person watching Survivor 47 who felt indifferent towards Rome. That's good casting.
Right. And like, I think one thing we mentioned this a while ago that I want to bring up again is like, Chaos Cast can't hide who she is.
No.
Like, there's a lot of people that when you cast them of like, Russell can't not be who he is. Mm-hmm. But we like that, and that's the flavor we're putting into the pot when we're doing casting. So when we do Rome, we actually don't want you to change. We want you to be as cocky as possible again and have these all-star players manipulate you and push you around, and then like actually you get a backbone and you idle out like a legend from the game and you get footing, is kind of like an actual moment where the Rome heads could be like, oh my God, he does have the skills. And one other thing is Big Brother just had somebody exactly like this as well. If anybody watched that show, you know immediately who I'm talking about. Is Tucker is one of the most electrifying players in Big Brother pre-merge, but he played to the max every single day where he could not go further than week six. It was impossible because when you have that much power and you have that much pizzazz and you're using it and flaunting it, you're going to be a target. That guy's showing up to every Big Brother All-Stars thing from now on. He won America's Favorite Player because he was a little bit more charismatic and a little bit more like, I don't know. Some people are like, he's very hot. Maybe that played something.
The one with but the long hair?
No, he's okay. Not.
Who's Tucker's the one with the long hair?
Long hair on Big Brother last
Wasn't
year?
Wasn't there a long hair Big Brother?
I think your Big Brother has long hair. You don't have a brother. I'm your Big Brother.
Oh, yeah, Tucker. Yeah, oh, that's a chin.
Tucker has a jawline and a showmance, and he is going to be on the challenge, the blah, 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 the blah, blah, blah forever. He won a bunch of money for being America's favorite. I think it's not a one-for-one for Rome, but it is kind of like, that's not a bad position to be in of a pre-merge person, pre-jury person that lights the world on fire and everybody has an opinion on. Because that's the other half of this game is, do I want to get invited to the challenge? Do I want to be on House of Villains 6? How about I go do Reality Stars Save Kids in Cambodia? Like, there's all kinds of opportunities like this where you want to be the person who goes, wait, what season was that person on? You're going to be like, oh, I know Rome. Rome was on 47.
Mm-hmm.
Long hair guy was Quinn. Yes, thank you.
Oh, Quinn. Okay, so there was somebody. That's the picture I keep seeing. People keep talking about Quinn and Tucker.
Quinn and Tucker.
Angela.
Quinn got second place probably, and Angela got third for America's Favorite. Or so, vice versa. I like whatever.
Anyway, so here's the thing. I agree with what you're saying. I feel like Rome would get the call for the challenge and stuff like that. And now it's going to be a determination of does Rome want to go and become a reality TV star? And I've made a lot of complaints on this podcast about how much I hate when people go on to Survivor trying to become stars or playing to play for a second time.
Like, what do you not like about it?
It's just frustrating. To me, it's annoying because you're not playing to win Survivor. You're playing to launch a career, which I have felt Survivor's done a very good job of avoiding because there's no following to get from Survivor. I mean, Teeny, right. I think, is the second or third most popular person on this season, has 4,700 and something.
It's crazy to me how it does not translate at all. Like,
it doesn't translate. And I don't know why that is. But so if you're going to go do something, like Rome could have just kept applying for Big Brother until eventually they would have put him on because he's loud. And they would have eventually probably put him on. So it's like, Rome chose this game because he truly likes this game. And because I think he really does like want to be Jeff Probst. I don't think he's going to be Jeff Probst, but he wants to be Jeff Probst. He sees that job and says, holy shit, that would be my dream position. And so for me, this one didn't bother me as much as others have, because I do feel like Rome still made smart gameplay decisions. He just also happened to be somebody who knew how to get his screen time. You can't say the same for Coach season one.
And I think he had to play those good game decisions because he was so bad socially, where he was already on the chopping block or like you're gonna go soon. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing that hearing all the exit press and the idea of, hey, sit in this seat, address the people in front of you, let them know what they're doing wrong. The fact that Jeff allegedly offered that thought process to Yule in 40 is hilarious to me of like, they wanted a moment like this.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be not dumb enough, but like cocky enough to walk over here and explain to everyone how bad they're playing or what they need to do with the idols. I think it was so funny that they left in the edit. I think it was so funny that Coach's first season, Will, not season one Coach. Come on, Will. The fact that they left it in the edit of like, what is even happening right now? Or like, good for him, because like, he's getting his moment. He's doing this. And I think that was probably why Rome was like, I'm about to literally tell everyone to watch the season. He was so like that. That was a thought process of like, if you're so into the beginning of the season, are you the first boot? Cause you're like, this isn't going to be very long for me. So I got to do all my, like my watch parties early, but it was like, this is the Rome show. And now post Rome, it's going to be different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I feel like Rome was just going to be somebody who was going to be pumped about being there no matter what. Like, he was going to be excited to play the game and to be a part of it no matter what. And he was going to hype himself up. I mean, you have to think, like, we did the, you know, we had the cameo from him when we were doing the fantasy draft, which thankfully made you draft him when you got first pick, which was great for me. But like, when you look at like this type of stuff, if Rome's the first boot, he's going to have fun with it. And I always say this now with Brandon Donlan, as I've gotten to know Brandon so much better, he's enjoying himself. He could have let this experience ruin everything for him. And he didn't. And so many people do. And I feel like you have to say to yourself, okay, you have to talk to yourself before you go out on the island. And you have to say to yourself, if I don't win and I am going home first, am I going to be totally so devastated that like I literally can't show my face in public again?
Yes.
Or am I going to be fine?
Right.
And I think for a lot of people, they're going to be so devastated. But for somebody like Rome, his placement on this season did not matter towards how he was going to act.
I also saw one tweet where I'm like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Of these people that are on 47 got to watch 46 up to a certain point.
Up to the Venus vote.
And they saw Q have his Q moment of like, I might as well just quit. And have that be some little chaos and people were waiting for it. And then he didn't quit. And then it became a thing. And not that Rome and Q are the same person, but there was the idea of, do we want to go through all that? Or should we just get rid of them first? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that's the meta game that is happening, not at light speed, but happening at months at a time of, did you watch what happened last time? A good way to win is to be like D. A good way to win is to be like Kinsey. Let's go ahead and eliminate anything that isn't Kinsey-like or isn't D-like, and let's get rid of Rome now.
Yeah. Well, because if I'm playing this game, I understand why Rome went home here, because at this earn the merge portion, they didn't split in half. 12 people were in danger, and Will talked about this pretty perfectly, even though he's a clown for putting this in here. I didn't know he was available right now. Maybe he should have been on this podcast. I think he explained it perfectly when he said, with 12 people being in danger, you're just doing whatever you can. You're playing it safe. You don't care because you just don't want to stir the, you don't want to ruffle feathers. And then all of a sudden you're the one going home. And so, but if I'm going out there and I'm playing, I said this to Kelly, now Bandian, last season during a predictions pairings, I said, if I'm playing the game, I'm voting out every woman under 5'5" because they are dominating the game right now. D wins, Kenzie wins, Liz goes to final four. Like, these are the dangerous, but Maria's not huge. Like, Maria's small too. And so it's like these types of underestimated women are the ones who are doing the best in the new era. Erica scares the shit out of me, even if I don't think she played the game. Marianne scares the shit out of me. Like, these are the people who are so terrifying.
How tall is Seuss me?
Rome? I'm not scared of Rome when I go and play Survivor. Which, if Rome were to come back for season 50 and enough people realize, let's say Teenie wins this season. If enough people sit down and say, oh shit, like Teenie, Kenzie, D, Erica, Marianne, those are six of the first seven winners of this era, or you know, whatever, five of the first seven winners of this era. Maybe they start to say to themselves, we should get rid of those types of players rather than the Romes and the Qs and the Venuses. And what does that mean? Well, that means somebody like Rome, much like Tony, could start to sneak their way through the game. And who knows, potentially.
And on our next time on Survivor, it did say, like, we're going after the guys, right?
Going after the guys, yeah. Yeah. Dude, I'm terrified of the women on Survivor now. That doesn't make me sexist. It makes me a good game player because the women have been dominating the new era. Dominating. Top to bottom.
I can't believe I'm on a podcast with someone that would say that with all these challenges.
I see one woman on my starting tribe who is under 5'6", and I'm like, first boot. They're gonna be like, why? I'm gonna be like, because they're gonna win. It's over. They've already won the season. I mean, and then look, I mean, I don't actually know how tall Cassidy is, but Cassidy finishes second on season 43.
She's 5'6", probably.
Heidi finishes second on 44. Like, I'm just saying, dude, it's scary.
You just crack the code here?
I'm just saying, are you gonna, new era.
Is your luxury item going to be a measuring tape so you can see?
I'll tell you, the people who were underestimated the most in pre-40 are now the most dangerous game players post-40. So anyway, all of that, somehow the roast of rum. Let's talk about Earn the Merge.
That's a very interesting topic. Now let's switch to what CBS wants to talk about, the Mergatory, and its still prevalence of we can't, like, guess what, Kyle? You're going to win a buff and a necklace, and nobody else will.
I mean, what I think Stephen Fischbach tweeted it and said,
it's not a merge.
How is it different from just saying it's a merge and the person who wins gets immunity? like there is no difference in the way they're doing this. So like, why not just call it a merge? Because they're all living. I'm gonna be merging. So like, when Jeff is going into traffic, what does he call it? He can't call it he's merging into traffic. Like, what does he call it? He's not merging yet. Like, does he tell the other cars, I'm not merging yet? This isn't it. Not yet. You'll have to wait. Like, it's a merge. Look up the definition of merge right now. Go ahead. First one that comes up on Google.
Here's legitimately what I think is happening, which is not fun to watch. I'm looking it up while I'm talking at the same time.
To combine or join two or more things into one, or to cause them to do so.
Form a single entity.
It's literally a merge.
Whoa. So here's...
So go ahead. Why do you think that they're doing this? Like, what does it make sense?
I think this is some behind-the-scenes insider baseball stuff of like... Whenever you're watching a commercial and that person doesn't talk, but only like laughs or screams, they're getting a different rate than a talking rate. And I think there's probably something in their contract where it goes, if you make the merge, you make a certain amount of money. Mm-hmm. And I think CBS or whoever that's making these decisions is cheap enough at this point where, well, we can have that only apply to 12 contestants instead of 13.
Or fiscally we're smart, because you don't need to give a bonus to 13 of your 18 castaways.
Right. So like, no, it wasn't a merge. You're earning the merge. And that is some insider baseball of all 13 of you guys are aware that one of you will not be getting the stipend for making the merge. Mm-hmm. And good luck. Maybe that's a little bit of extra stuff, but it's not explained to the audience because nobody wants to be that inside of baseball of like, I don't want to think about how much my contestants are winning or not until it's the final episode of the 100,000 versus the million.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's a really good point. I think you're probably right on what's happening here.
Just not fun to talk about and is legitimately boring. Yeah,
and there's no reason to tell us that. We don't need to know that. It's the same thing like you watch the credits for a TV show. You don't need to know why does that person's name go up in the top right and that person's name is in the bottom left. Like, it doesn't matter. You don't care.
Somebody made a decision 20 years ago.
Exactly. Like, it doesn't matter. So I hear what you're saying with that. There must be something like that going on because at this point, it's a merge. You are merging at 13. Every single person went to tribal council together, sat down and voted for each other. They came from 3 to 1. That is a merge. It is a merge. It is a merge. It is a merge. But why are we refusing to call it that? I think you're probably right there. At the end of the day, while it's fun to heckle Jeff over this, like it is enjoyable to be like, Jeff, why the hell won't you just call it this? And I think Blake might've pinpointed it, but still we sit here and we watch it and we go, okay, great. This version feels like everything we've watched our entire lives up until season 41. I don't care what the hell they call it. I just kind of like this version more. And I know Will and I talked about it in our recap where there was a discussion about, well, maybe it actually creates worse gameplay to do this. I don't really care. I think that this is the better version of what Survivor is having one person be safe and everybody else have to fight it out. I think that's the better version of Survivor. And it might result in one boring boot, but if this is the boring boot of the season, then good for season 47 because you're on an absolute heater.
The fact that Survivor made it past the hourglass thing, I think is crazy. Of like that's the alternative, is like half of you guys are going to be safe. Congrats on winning. Just kidding. Now you guys are vulnerable. Hope you enjoyed that meal. And like the fact that that was like a new era needs a new thing so badly. And now it's like, oh crap, like Survivor has been on for 46 seasons because of very simple stuff of when you win, you win. Mm-hmm. When you lose, you're vulnerable. And 12 people lost. Like that's what should happen. Not we lost in waves, or if they had been like the final two people, one man, one woman, like that's always an interesting thing to me of like one man, one woman winning immunity has never really mattered in the grand scheme. Like, I don't think we've ever gotten the most two targets won immunity, so the third target went home. But then he had an idol, so the fourth target went home. Like, we haven't had that happen where you can pinpoint, oh, here. So I think as simple as possible when it comes to Kyle won, that was an amazing moment because Kyle doesn't have a vote and he is kind of worried because he did say to people like, screw Rome. And then it's like, well, bro, you can't put your money where your mouth is because you literally don't have any money. And he's like, okay, well, I guess I'll go out there and put it all out there on the field to show like I can put up or shut up, and at least in this way. But now are you a threat? Mm-hmm. Oh wait, it doesn't matter because we're gonna demerge and split. This is our tribe split challenge, or what is it called?
I don't think they're gonna do it next time. I think they'll probably do it at Final 10, to be honest with you.
I think we already saw something where it's like these six people and these six people are against.
Oh, did they already do it?
I don't know. I don't know how much of it is like, I'm just assuming because 5 and 5 is crazy. And I saw a graphic of these. They were split in team blue and yellow, but I don't know if that's like how did you see that graphic? But that was on Twitter.
Sure it was. Sure it was. Man, Blake, what is is your history only spoiled Survivor? Like, do you have anything else? Oh my
God, that's not true.
I need somebody else to show me this picture then, because I don't believe you.
I need to go create a Smurf Twitter account.
I'm telling you, dude. You got to figure this out. There.
Okay, but it says earn the merge. So what do you think earning the merge means to Jeff Probst, if we're digging deeper? Of legitimately, what is not earning the merge about 5 boots of pre-merge?
I don't get it. I don't get it. It's like they came up with a different name for the same thing and they tried to make it seem like it was something new, right? It's like Disney went from Fast Pass to Lightning Lane. It's the same shit. Like, it's the exact, if you look at the system now, it is the exact same system as it was when it was Fast Pass, except now it's called Lightning Lane. They tried to do something different with it. It didn't work. And they just kept the new name, but went back to the old system. And that's what it feels like is happening right here. And it's one of those, like, I feel like it's like the gimmick of it. What's a catchy thing to say? You're going to earn the merge. Whoa. Okay. Like, it feels like there's something to that, but it's not what's bringing people back to the episode.
And I know I haven't harped on this in a while, but it is getting more and more apparent of this was the merge thing. They were not merge. They were in tribes for 10 days.
11. Oh yeah, day 11 is when they go. Yeah, it's crazy.
Can you imagine your pre-merge only lasts 10 days? And like, we're watching old seasons of Survivor, right? So Rome goes at day 12. So we're watching Guatemala. And at day 12, only 4 people had gone.
I mean, I'm watching Australian Survivor, and I'm going to be doing my recap of the whole season of 2018. That was a 50-day season. And I'm not knocking the show for being shorter. I just think it's interesting of like, how different it really is.
Because now day 26, literally only you would be the first jury member of Guatemala. Mm-hmm. Like, I know, okay, we've hashed that out for months and years of our life, but it does blow my mind of of course, maybe they're going to be more fluid in their merge tribe because they only knew each other for 10 days. Whenever we go like, is Andy going to betray everyone when he figures out he was the second option? It's like normally there would be a, oh, he can't. They took him through the whole first 2 weeks. It's like, no, that was only 10 days.
Yeah.
The first time they had to prove loyalty was day three. And then one time a week later as well. Like, it blows my mind that there was that many tribal councils in that amount of time too, of like every 5 days, or Asia went and then Keyshawn went literally the next day. Mm-hmm. That's hard to watch and like fathom unless they say it, but it is kind of like, I don't want to play Survivor right now if I don't have 3 days to recuperate from my number one getting blindsided. And then I go the next day because of course I did. Like usually that's saved for like end game of like final six on of it's every other day now.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about that where it's like the days, it really does make it hard to work your way out from the bottom. But in terms of like
earning the merge is not 10 days is what I'm trying to say.
Here's what my thing is. I feel like earn the merge means something so much more to the players on the island than it does to us. The players on the island, for them, it's probably like, oh shit, if I win this challenge, I made the merge official. Like it feels monumental, right? It feels huge. Like we had the confessional from Kyle that said, check mark, one thing down on the Survivor bucket list. Awesome. What happens is, and we had that great speech from Andy about you're going to feel the FOMO and all of this, blah, blah, blah. Like it was really, really well done. But for us as a viewer, we sit there and say, as far as I'm concerned, I'm looking at a merge. Doesn't matter what you call, I'm looking at a merge. So it doesn't mean anything to us. So maybe it's something that's working, Jeff feels, to get the players to play harder in that moment. But as a viewer, it's not doing anything for us.
It doesn't do anything for the viewer. And what is more important at this point? The 18 people on the island or the 4 million people watching? Mm-hmm. I think that's an interesting thought process. I do think read this first. Go for it.
I was just going to say, so then Nicholas says, I hate the removal of the full merge feast. Having the full tribe finally eat together is one of my favorite parts of each season. So that's another thing that we are missing here, because by earn the merge, you're only getting half the people going and bonding and doing everything while the other half goes back and they're just at camp.
Because I think one of the most famous versions of that Earn the Merge feast is Gabler being like, Ellie has got to go. Ellie. And she doesn't have a rebuttal. But if she's in the back of there, like grabbing a thing of ribs and hears her name and turns around mm-hmm. and goes, what'd you say, Gabler? Is that a more fun moment? Or Gabler wouldn't have said that, or
I
mean, like
the iconic line, if I threw Ellie's name out, to throw Ellie's name out would not have been there, and that would have been devastating. So
right. I think another thing that blew my mind was just Teeny was drinking.
Dude, Teeny was cracking me up.
Drinking
in that like, episode. Cracking like, me up.
I don't think they had her talk that much at Tribal, but it was kind of probably because maybe we couldn't use what she said because I don't know if that's a thing though, of like I think the average reality TV player is a little more gracious than they used to be, but I feel like that would have been a death sentence like even 10 years ago, of like a strong player got super drunk. We're either going to immediately eliminate them or use that to eliminate them next, of like, you threw up in the shelter, dude. Like you're done. And like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm wondering if that's going to happen at all, or if it's like Teeny can do no wrong because she's everyone's little sister and it's really fun to see her drunk. Like if five other people had gotten as what it looks like, I'm not trying to be like, Teeny made some bad decisions. Like, I get, like, I've been living with Rome for 10 days. Give me that freaking wine bottle.
Yeah.
It's a very like, I get it.
You had texted me about that and you said, why do you think they didn't harp on that more? I think ultimately just nothing came out of it. I think that's really what it came down to. Now, here's another thing I do want to talk about. We'll spend the last 5 minutes.
We don't want our future winner to be super.
Well, here's something I want to talk about here. So we'll spend the last 5 minutes doing this. Schoolyard pick, Andy was the last pick, and they didn't show it. Any validity to the fact that they're hiding that Andy was the last one picked and Andy's going to end up winning? Or do you think people are reading this wrong? And if Andy was the last pick who went on to win, they would absolutely show it to show how much growth he had.
It is something of that was flabbergasting. Like, I don't know who has final cut on these episodes, but that it was edited and shown as a secret scene. Mm-hmm. But like the most like everything else you showed didn't show the structure of what people think about their opponents and like interaction of like, I'm literally making a decision in front of God and everyone else. I want Sam on my team first. I think he's the strongest competitor. We have Teeny say that out loud. Now Sam has that layer of stuff to deal with. Mm-hmm. And like, I think there's maybe the idea of, well, for the next couple episodes, nobody ever mentions this, so it's not going to be relevant. And my audience will maybe feel like we led them astray by putting this in. Mm-hmm. But it's such a weird thing for Jeff to go, we're going to do something we haven't done in the new era, not for a long time. It's a schoolyard pick'em. And then even some casual person that I watch with who doesn't go to every forum and doesn't look at every advertisement was like,
spoiler.
They were like, what the hell just happened? Did they do the pick'em?
Yeah.
It's like, no, they did not. Like, you're confusing everybody by doing that. And it is kind of like, why did we hype this up? And it would have been a fun moment. Like, I did watch the secret scene later, and like maybe there was no like crazy, like I'm crying, or we did watch Andy be like, I've been dealing with this my whole life. It's just gonna happen again until I prove everybody wrong. It's like, why wouldn't you want that in your 90-minute episode? Like, how is that not making the cut?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Nicholas down here says, are they hiding the first pick to give them more of an underdog story? Maybe for Sam. Well, never. Jeff ultimately just said in an interview with Dalton Ross that, like, he didn't feel like there was any reason to show it.
That's crazy, Jeff, because there's no reason not to show it. You're just confusing your audience.
Yeah.
I hate to be the person who always says this and then people write in comments like, you're pretty negative these days.
I hate everything.
But like, maybe let's ask the 15 people in the office anonymously, would you want to see a pick'em in the episode if you were a fan? Mm-hmm. And if you get 15 no's, no, who cares about the pick'em? Then hire some different people. I don't know.
I was just gonna say that, because then I would say don't agree with them, just maybe look at who's around you. So
yeah,
anyway,
it's not that I'm saying Jeff's out of touch, but like, how does Jeff go, I don't think people wanted to see the interactions between the cast when they are literally sizing each other up. Mm-hmm. Like, pick'ems are legitimately some of the most, here we are bearing our soul. Like, Kenny on Gabon is going to make an all-time play during a pick'em because there is this kind of strategy involved. Or mm-hmm. I watched the secret scene. I've never watched the secret scene on purpose. I sought this out on purpose, and somebody goes, I really enjoyed working with Gabe on that challenge we just did, and he's super strong and like really good at the mental stuff. I need him on this team. And I was like, oh shit. Like, that's equal parts. Like, maybe that's an alliance builder with Gabe of, I do value you in this, but it's also like, and now I built an alliance with Gabe, but shielded him in front of me or whatever. I don't even remember who it was at this point that said that. But if it was in an episode, like, I think that's what's funny too, is when we binge this 20 years from now and talk about 47, mm-hmm. we're gonna not remember how to get to all those secret scenes. So you do have to put it in your actual episode for all posterity.
Yeah, that stuff does not exist after this week. like after this season. Nobody cares. Nobody goes back and finds that stuff. Like, no, when you're binge watching a show or if you're watching it for the first time, you're not seeking this stuff out. This is strictly for the people who are watching live.
And Gabe had the funniest tweet of all time. Somebody was like, all the black people got voted out of Survivor already. This sucks. And Gabe retweeted it with a sad, like, sideways face. And I was like, Gabe, you get their ass. Come on, Gabe. Let's go, Gabe. I'm a huge Gabe fan. I hope he can get to that final five and go from there. Like, let's go, Gabe.
There you go. Let's go, Gabe. All right. That's it for Digging Deeper. We'll be back. I'll be back again either Sunday or Monday. I still don't have a guest yet. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm in the works. Don't worry, people. There will be a Predictions of Power Rankings episode. I just don't know who it's going to be yet. I know who everybody in November is going to be. I got every single weekend in November planned. I just don't know what the hell is happening this weekend. So thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure to like and subscribe. We're going to be doing House of Villains immediately after this, so get ready for that. That'll be fun. Blake, is this going to be the last House of Villains episode we do?
It's not going to be the... We'll do the finale.
Okay, cool. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you over there in a bit. Become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. I'll be doing my 2018 Australian Survivor recap today. So that'll be coming out later this afternoon. I just haven't recorded it yet. So for patrons who are like, this is normally at 9 a.m. Yeah, my day has been terrible and spending 2 hours talking to Blake isn't making it better. All right, everybody. Bye. Sorry, Blake. Not on you. It's me.